Welcome to Paper Bites. I'm Sunil, joined by my co-host Jeetan, and together we bring cutting-edge AI and engineering research to life in bite-sized, engaging audio. Whether you're a tech enthusiast, an engineer, or just curious about the latest innovations, we break down complex research papers into insightful, easy-to-follow conversations. No jargon overload, just clear, practical discussions on how technology is shaping the world. Stay with us as we dive into today's topic and decode the future, one bite at a time. Welcome, everyone. Today, we're tackling a paper that delves into the fascinating world of large language models, or LLMs, as the cool kids call them. Specifically, it's about optimizing their performance in online systems.
Yeah, LLMs are everywhere these days, but making them run efficiently in real-time applications, that's a whole different ballgame.
Exactly. This paper focuses on a technique called prefix reuse, which seems like a pretty clever way to boost LLM performance, especially when it comes to latency. The title is a mouthful: LLM Query Scheduling with Prefix Reuse and Latency Constraints. So Jeetan, before we get into the nitty-gritty of this prefix reuse thing, let's talk about the current state of LLM inference optimization. It's a hot topic, right?
Definitely. Everyone wants their LLMs to be fast and responsive, especially in online applications. That's where metrics like GoodPut, TTFT, and TPOT come into play.
Right, GoodPut. Not just how many queries you can process, but how many you can process while meeting those tight latency constraints.
Exactly. Time to first token, or TTFT, is crucial. Nobody wants to wait ages for that first word to pop up.
And then there's time per output token, TPOT, which dictates how quickly the rest of the response rolls in. Both are super important for a smooth user experience.
Absolutely. Think about applications like chatbots, real-time translation, or even code generation. Latency is a killer in those scenarios. Every millisecond counts.
Okay, so now let's dive into this prefix reuse concept. Sounds like a cool trick.
It is. Imagine you have a bunch of prompts that share a common beginning, like, what's the weather in?
Right. Instead of computing the entire prompt from scratch each time, you can reuse the computations for the shared part, the what's the weather in bit.
Precisely. That's prefix reuse in a nutshell. And radix attention is a clever way of implementing this. It stores these intermediate representations, the computations from the shared prefixes, in a special data structure called a radix tree.
Like a lookup table for parts of prompts?
Exactly. When a new query comes in, radix attention zips through this tree, checks if there's a matching prefix, and if so, boom, it reuses the cached computations, saves a ton of time and resources.
Smart. So it's not just about saving compute for the shared part, but also the memory needed to store those intermediate results.
Exactly. It's a win-win, especially when you have a lot of similar queries, like in a production environment.
So, reusing prefixes sounds like a no-brainer. Why is scheduling even a problem? Just reuse as much as possible, right?
Well, it's trickier than it sounds, especially when you're dealing with real-time constraints. Think about a live application where users are waiting for responses.
Right? You can't keep on hanging.
Exactly. There are two main metrics here: time to first token, or TTFT, and time per output token, TPOT. You want both to be as low as possible.
Makes sense. So how does prefix reuse mess with this?
It comes down to the order in which you process the queries. The paper focuses on two common strategies: first come, first serve, or FCFS, and longest prefix match, or LPM.
FCFS is pretty self-explanatory. Just process the queries in the order they arrive.
Right. Simple, but doesn't leverage the prefix reuse magic. LPM, on the other hand, tries to maximize prefix reuse at each step. So it picks the next query with the longest matching prefix with what's currently in the cache.
Sounds like LPM would be better.
Sometimes, yes. But the paper points out that in online settings, with those real-time constraints we talked about, LPM can run into trouble, especially when things get busy.
How so?
Imagine a scenario with a long queue and some queries with really long prompts but short outputs, like a prefill-dominated queries.
Prefill-dominated queries, like when you have a lot of setup in the prompt but the actual generation is short?
Exactly. Now, if a bunch of short, unrelated queries arrive in between, LPM might keep picking those because they're quick wins in terms of processing time, right? It's constantly trying to maximize that prefix overlap.
Ah, I see. So the longer queries with more potential for reuse get stuck waiting in the queue, and their TTFT goes up. Not good if you're trying to keep latency low.
Precisely. So LPM can actually lead to these spikes in TTFT, which is a big no-no in real-time systems. FCFS doesn't have that problem because it's fair, but it misses out on the reuse benefits, so there's a trade-off.
So if FCFS and LPM both have their downsides, what's the solution?
That's where the cool part of this paper comes in. They introduce a new algorithm called KLPM.
KLPM? What's the K about?
It's a parameter that controls how much the algorithm prioritizes prefix reuse versus fairness. Think of it as a knob you can tune.
Okay, so how does it actually work?
It's pretty clever, actually. KLPM takes the best of both worlds from FCFS and LPM. It starts by looking at the queue and greedily picking the Kate queries that offer the most prefix reuse. So it's doing the LPM thing for a few steps.
Right, maximizing that overlap.
Exactly. But then, after those KE greedy steps, it switches gears and picks the oldest query in the queue, just like FCFS. It ensures that queries don't get stuck waiting.
Ah, I get it. So it's like a compromise between aggressively pursuing prefix reuse and being fair to the waiting queries. Kind of like a balanced approach.
Precisely. The K parameter lets you fine-tune that balance. If K is 1, it's just FCFS. If K is huge, it behaves a lot like regular LPM.
So, by tweaking K, you can adjust how much reuse you get versus how much fairness you maintain. What does the paper say about how well this KLPM actually performs? Does this balancing act actually lead to better performance?
That's where the theoretical analysis comes in. They introduce a data generative model to capture realistic query patterns. It simplifies things by assuming that queries have a sort of tree structure with shared prefixes. Think of it like a branching conversation, where different follow-up questions share the same initial context. Under this model, they prove some cool results.
Such as?
They show that KLPM can have a lower maximum TTFT compared to both FCFS and LPM with high probability. Basically, it means fewer long waits for users. They also show that when the inter-arrival time is low and user prefix length is high, LPM is better than FCFS, but KLPM retains the advantage. On the other hand, when the inter-arrival time is relatively high, FCFS is better than LPM, but again, KLPM retains an advantage. For intermediate values, KLPM is better than both algorithms.
So KLPM offers this sweet spot where you get a good balance between efficient prefix reuse and keeping latency under control. Sounds promising. Okay, so the theory sounds good, but does KLPM hold up in the real world? Did they actually test it out?
They sure did. They ran experiments using a Llama 3.1 8B instruct model spread across 8 A100 GPUs. They used the SGLang serving framework, and get this, they used real prompts from a dataset designed for personalized ranking and recommendations.
So, a pretty realistic setup then. What did they find?
The results are pretty compelling. They measured the 99th percentile TTFT, P99 TTFT, so basically the really bad outliers, and compared KLPM against FCFS and LPM across different request rates.
And? Drumroll, please.
KLPM consistently outperformed both FCFS and LPM. They found that setting the K parameter to 2 was a sweet spot, giving the best performance across a wide range of request rates.
So this magical K value of 2 really hits that balance. Interesting. Does it align with what the theory predicted?
Yes, pretty much. Remember how they talked about that data generative model with the tree-like structure? Even though the real-world prompts weren't perfectly tree-like, the general trend held up. It shows that their theoretical model, even with its simplifications, is surprisingly good at predicting real-world behavior.
That's pretty neat. So in their experiments, when the request rates were low, FCFS did better, and when the rates were high, LPM took the lead?
Exactly. And just like the theory predicted, KLPM was able to hold its own in both scenarios. It shined especially under moderate to heavy loads, where things start to get interesting. This reinforces the idea that KLPM is more robust than either FCFS or LPM alone.
So, KLPM's kind of like the Goldilocks of LLM scheduling. Not too greedy, not too fair, but just right. This really highlights the practical impact of KLPM. It's not just a theoretical win. It actually delivers in a realistic environment. So where do we go from here? What's next in the world of LLM scheduling?
The paper mentions a few interesting future directions. One thing they highlight is the need for more robust benchmarks. Right now, there aren't many standardized ways to compare different scheduling strategies, and that makes it hard to really assess the strengths and weaknesses of different approaches.
Yeah, that makes sense. A common benchmark would definitely level the playing field. Anything else?
They also talk about extending their computational model. Remember how they assumed a fixed decoding length? In reality, the length of the output can vary, so incorporating that into the model would make it even more realistic.
True. And what about dealing with different kinds of query streams? They used a specific data generative model, but real-world traffic can be much more complex.
Exactly. They suggest exploring different types of query streams, maybe using distributional models to capture the nuances of real-world traffic patterns.
That sounds like a pretty challenging problem, but it would definitely be valuable. It would help us to understand how these scheduling algorithms perform under more realistic conditions. Anything that caught your eye specifically?
I found the idea of a polynomial time approximation scheme intriguing. They hint at the possibility of an algorithm that could find a schedule satisfying a certain percentile TTFT constraint in polynomial time, but leave it open for future work. That would be a huge win if someone could crack that.
So to wrap things up, this paper on LLM query scheduling with prefix reuse and latency constraints really dives into the nitty-gritty of optimizing LLM performance. It's a deep dive, but super relevant given how important LLMs are becoming.
Absolutely. I think the key takeaway is that scheduling matters, especially when you're dealing with real-time constraints. Just blindly using FCFS or LPM might not cut it. You need something smarter, something that can balance prefix reuse with fairness.
And that's where KLPM comes in, right? It seems to offer a good balance, at least based on their theoretical analysis and experimental results. So those experiments were with a specific setup. It's a promising start.
Yeah, and the whole idea of prefix reuse is clever. Exploiting those shared prefixes can really boost efficiency, which is crucial for LLMs.
For sure. And the paper lays out some interesting directions for future work too. Better benchmarks, more realistic models, and maybe even cracking that polynomial time approximation scheme. Lots of exciting stuff to explore.
Definitely. Big thanks to everyone for tuning in to Paper Bytes. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive into the world of LLM optimization. And don't forget to check out the full paper, LLM Query Scheduling with Prefix Reuse and Latency Constraints, linked in the show notes.
And be sure to join us next time for another bite-sized chunk of cutting-edge research. Until then, happy reading. That's a wrap for this episode of Paper Bytes. We hope you enjoyed diving into today's research and gained some fresh insights into the world of AI and engineering. If you found this useful, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. It really helps us keep bringing you cutting-edge content. Got a paper you'd like us to cover? Let us know. Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and stay curious. See you in the next bite.